right, guys.
Well, guys, it's great to be here.
Yes.
Come on.
Come on, bro.
It's a privilege for us to be here. It's an honor for my wife and I to have this time together with you. We're grateful and thankful to God, and we're thankful for the Brooms who invited us to come up here and spend this time with you. Greetings from the Syracuse National Christian Church. Your brothers and sisters, they send their love for you, and they constantly in prayer for you, and they love you with all their hearts, so they send their greetings. I'd like to have my wife to share a little bit before she gets back with the baby.
Yes. Good morning.
Good morning.
It's just awesome to be here. It's a little treat for us. We have three wonderful boys. So we have half of them here.
quarter.
But it's a little tiny one. We're just super grateful to be here. This is kind of like our second marriage retreat. Since we've been in the ICC, we are disciples from the ICOC, and we just step over, and we're just so grateful just to see how God is using the new movement just to bless our marriages.
Yes.
You know, and I know without God we wouldn't be able to survive. Just like one of us said here, we need God in our marriage, and I'm just so grateful. We've been together for like 20 years. And we look like newlyweds, but we're not. I feel like a newlywed, but we're not. We've been together for 20 years, and we've been married for 14, going on 14, and we've been disciples for 15 years. And the way we became disciples is just totally God, just like everybody else, right? It's always God behind the scene. And we've been living together for since we were like around 18, 19 years old, and we became disciples like around 20, 21. And before we were disciples, it was just a mess. You know, we've been together since we were 15. So I never had another boyfriend before. He was my first. And vice versa, we were each other's first. And so we had no clue how to be and how to be married, I mean, how to be together and have a healthy relationship.
Yeah.
So our relationship was based on just physical. It was just physical. We never learned how to communicate. We never learned how to love each other the way God intended to love.
Yeah.
And so we had, you know, everything was fine in the beginning, but we had a lot of problems. And we were, you know, those type of couples that they are together, but they love each other so much that they would like be together and then break up and come back together and break up. If we didn't get God in our life, we would have been just like that.
Yeah.
You know, and it would have been such an unhealthy relationship. But I thank God that God came into our life at 21. And since then, you know, the first year was amazing. You know, but then when we got married, you know, we missed each other a lot. Because we had to stay pure for a year.
Come on now.
And after the year we got married, I remember praying that prayer and asking God, say, God, you know, if he's the man for me, then make it very clear. Help him to, you know, help him to propose to me on Valentine's Day. And that was a very scary prayer. I don't know if you ever, you know, pray those prayers, but it's very scary because it's like, what about God says no? What about if he doesn't propose on Valentine's Day? What then? But he did. And I remember I never told anyone. I didn't tell my roommate. He didn't know about it. So it's not like it leaked somewhere. It was just between my God and myself. And I remember praying that, and that was Valentine's Day. He proposed to me. And then the next month we got married. We're like, we're not waiting. I don't want to wait any longer. And we just got married, you know, March 8th. And, you know, since then, you know, the first year of marriage was awesome because, like I said, we missed each other a lot. And in the second year, because usually the first year is the hardest year, you know. But the second year was the hardest for us. And it was so hard that, you know, I looked at my husband one day and I'm going to talk to the woman. I did something that you should. Some things that you never say. He says no. What about if he doesn't propose on Valentine's Day? What then? But he did. And I remember I never told anyone. I didn't tell my roommate. Wow. He didn't know about it. So it's not like it leaked somewhere. It was just between my God and myself.
Come on.
And I remember praying that, and that was Valentine's Day. He proposed to me. And then the next month we got married.
Wow.
We were like, we're not waiting. I don't want to wait any longer. And we just got married, you know, March 8th. And, you know, since then, you know, the first year of marriage was awesome because, like I said, we missed each other a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And in the second year,
uh-oh.
Because usually the first year is the hardest year, you know, but the second year was the hardest for us.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so hard that, you know, I looked at my husband one day and I'm going to talk to the woman. I did something that you know, some things that you never say. And I told him, I said, I want a divorce. That's how bad it was. So, you know, if that D word comes out of your mouth, you know it is really, really bad. And so we had to learn how to be married. And I'm just, I don't want to give anything else away. I'll share more. But,
amen.
You know, I had to learn to be that wife because I'm a very strong-headed woman. You know, I'm from the Caribbean and, you know, I was taught, like, let no man sit on, you know, don't let no man tell you what to do. And I had to learn to be, you know, respectful. So this lesson that I'm going to teach this evening, it's not just to you guys, it's also to me. I learned so much from this lesson. Just, you know, just seeing how deeper we should go in respecting our husband. So, but I'm just so grateful to be here. And I just want to thank the Bruins for inviting us. And the church in Syracuse sends your love. The O'Donnell sent your love. The Thomases sent your love. And they miss you guys a lot. And they can't wait to come down. The O'Donnells have a basement apartment here
sometimes.
Yeah, like they're always staying in the basement. And they heard it was flooded. So it was like, oh my gosh, my rooms are flooded. But they send their love to you guys. And and I'm just super grateful to be here. So thank you.
Amen.
I have an hour, and I'm not rushing. I am from Trinidad. That's right, baby. Pretty in the house. From the Caribbean, my wife and I, we are been in South America, Suriname, and we started the church and led it there for 8 years.
Yep. Come on, bro.
And during that time, it was a blessing and a curse.
Come on.
It was because we were young in the faith, and we didn't know how to love one another. And we went through a whole lot. I just want to say, before I begin, I am grateful to God, first of all, for allowing me to be part of the new movement.
Amen.
Say that because I have a lot of friends in the old movement. And to see where their lives are at now and their marriages, it's a shame.
Yeah.
It's really sad. Keep praying for them. But we are blessed to be part of the kingdom.
Yeah.
We are blessed to know what we know and to have what we have.
Yeah.
Because people in the world die to have it.
Right.
You know they say that you only appreciate something when you lose it?
Yeah.
Look at the news. See what's going on.
Yeah.
You look at all the celebrities in the world today.
Yeah.
And the mess that they go through. No marriages can't stand. They say over 50% of marriages in the world end in divorce.
Right.
End in divorce.
Wow.
According to, I have a little something here for you.
Okay.
According to Donald Hughes, and he's the author of Divorce Reality, he said this, that people in the religious world who claim to be born-again Christians.
Come on.
They're the ones who think just going to church would help their marriage.
Come on, bro.
The rate is for so-called born-again Christians in marriage and divorce is everyone who is married, over 90% gets divorced.
Wow.
Because they think just going to church would help them.
Right.
Being religious would help them. It's like carrying a rabbit's foot. I just carry this. I have good luck. Well, marriage don't work that way. You see, it takes two to dance that dance you just did. And you know, Chris just said, you know, some of us wanted that room. Well, I think I wanted it more than anybody else. I have to stay still, if you know what I mean, for just a minute. But amen, it was great. I think we shouldn't wait for half times like this. This should be our norm in our marriages. that we need to take the time out to build. Take the time out to love. Take the time out to encourage. You have one life and one wife to live it. It's how you live it that counts. You hear me here? It's how you live it that counts. Now, one of the biggest problems we have in the world today is that they do not know how to love. Agape, we know about that love. We hear that all the time in the sermons being preached. Agape love. We need to learn how to love. John 13:34 says, Jesus says to the disciples, says, love one another. It's a new command I gave you. Love one another as I have loved you. If you do this, all men would know that you are my disciples, the command that was given. The blessing in the kingdom is that we have the power to do it. The world don't have it. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, for God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of what?
Power.
And what?
Love.
Exactly. That's what God has given us. The question is, are we tapping into that power?
Come on.
Because love that is not growing to be endless love will soon die. And love is something we got to grow in. The Bible says that we didn't love God, but He first loved us. And because of that love, we are compelled to love Him back and love one another, starting with our wives, starting with our husbands. We are the ones that's going to tell the next generation what it means to be in the kingdom of God. We are the ones that telling the next generation what the cross is all about. Now that's the story of an endless love. That's incredible. But people are not just going to listen to what you say. Because our lives, and I'm sure you heard this before, our lives is the only Bible that the world probably would ever read.
Come on.
Starting with your marriage. They want to see what's the difference. Jesus said all men would know. All of them. If you love one another, if I have loved, how has God loved us? How has He loved us? Despite our sins and our shortcomings, He still went and died on the cross. He washed the feet of fishermen, stinky, muddy, smelly feet. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords still washed, still went on the cross and died for them. How much more should we do the same for one another who calls ourselves to be disciples of Christ? We have the power.
That's right.
But I think for me, sometimes I could get so busy. So busy with my life that I sometimes I forget to love my wife. I love everybody else. Sometimes I forget to take the time to build and grow that love. You know, I cannot remember the last time. This is to my shame.
Come on.
I really cannot remember the last time I played a song like that and danced with my wife. I can't remember. I said, you know what? I've been so busy. I've got to take those times. I've got to make those. If I'm the leader in the family, I lead my wife, right?
Come on, bro.
Husbands, are you making that time?
Come on.
I tell you, I challenge myself first, and I'm going to challenge you too.
Yep.
That after this retreat and this new year that's going to be coming, after you leave here, make it a norm in your marriage to take the time out to build that love, that intimacy, that closeness. You with me? I was going to share something. I'm not going to go and let my wife tell me. We're all married, right? Amen. My wife kept telling me, honey, I think you need to back off a little bit. I'm doing that song, you know. Anyway, let's keep going. We're gonna get another. But tapping into that power our personal relationship with God is the key, the most important link into having a successful marriage.
Come on.
How is your walk with God will determine if your love will be endless or will come to an end.
Yep.
Wow. You follow me?
Yes. Come on.
Because if you can't love God, how can you love your wife or your husband?
Right.
It starts with God. Before anything else fills us in our lives, we must first be filled with God.
Yeah. Come on.
I say that because at one point in my life, I wasn't filled with God. And it hurted my wife. It hurted my marriage. You know what I was filled with? I was filled with self. And me. And my emotions. They say women are weak and they have more emotions than men. Maybe so. But brothers, we have emotions too. And we've got to make sure that our emotions come under the lordship of Christ.
Yeah.
That's right.
And then we ought to act out lovingly. What would Jesus do? And do it. How would he love? And love so. Love her that way. Love him that way. You with me? God is the missing piece in our marriages. If you are not doing well with God, you will not do well in your marriage. You wouldn't. The scripture says that God designed marriage. He made it. The two will become one flesh. He created it. God knows what works.
Yep.
He knows how to make the tick-tock in your marriage. In my marriage. God has created roles. He created the man to be a husband. And to lead his wife in love, an example. And you've created the woman to be the wife who sets the tone in the home. And if he's not leading her the right way, then she won't respect him the way that he needs to be respected. Because as men, we need respect.
Right?
Right.
You know, my wife always gives this example. I think it's really cool. She always talks about, you know, the marriage relationship is like this. It's like a triangle.
Yeah.
You guys ever heard about that?
Yeah.
Come on.
I think that's so cool. A triangle. And God is on top. Husband is here. And wife is here. And the closer you get to God, the closer you get to each other. God has got to be the middle piece. If not, you will not have an endless love for your wife and an endless respect for your husband. You're with me, right?
Yeah.
Amen. I believe God has made marriages to be a great thing, an awesome thing. God has created marriages to be beautiful, priceless. Marriages helps us in our loneliness. What did God say to Adam? See, this man is lonely. I need to make him a suitable helper. And created Eve, which I think was gorgeous. Because God knows what we need. Marriages multiply our effectiveness. Establish family. Raise children. Enjoy life. And he has blessed us with emotional intimacies.
Come on.
That's how marriage is all about. And what it's all about, how God created it. Through the help of a lifelong partner, we would see exactly what we're made of.
Yeah.
Through the help of a lifelong partner, we'll show what we're really made of.
Yeah, come on.
Does your marriage tell you about God's love? Because you see, the thing is, allow me to speak just plainly for you.
Come on.
For a second. In all my years being married to my wife, nobody pushes the button more than my wife. She knows how to push my buttons. She pushes it the right way, and sometimes she pushes it the wrong way. I knows how to push her button too. And if you love in the right way,
come on.
There are two things going to come out of the push button stuff. If you love in the right way, then your relationship and your love for each other should be like a rose. You know what happens when you crush a rose? When you step on a rose, what happens to it? It smells. It gives out an aroma. It's pleasant. You with me?
Yeah.
And you see, when my wife pushes my buttons, sometimes the rose don't come out. You know what comes out?
Tell us, bro.
Try stepping on a skunk. What do you think happens when you say, it stinks, it smells? And you see, in my relationship with my wife, you know, when she pushed that button, I got to watch what comes out.
Yep.
And what comes out sometimes stinks.
That's right.
I mean, I'm talking about the attitudes.
Yeah.
I'm talking about the facial expression, the body language.
Right.
And sometimes we're afraid. No, sometimes I'm afraid to just lash back out and say, hey, yo, what's up? What are you talking to me like that, you know? I'm afraid that I'm saying, okay, let me just be man. All right. Okay, good. I changed that. That's turn out. And that automatically sends daggers towards her. I may not see a lot of things, but by my body language.
Yeah.
Shoot her up. You know, a few years ago I heard a story about a father and a son. And his son was having problems at school. And he's always getting fights. He loses anger. And loses his emotions and do a lot of crazy things. Teacher called him up to school one day and said, listen, we got a problem with your kid. You need to come to school. He's lost it many times. He's too emotional. He's getting into a lot of fights. And I think we need to help your son. So the father said, okay. He took him back home. And while he was sitting in his garage, the father asked his son, no, what's going on? He said, Dad, I don't know what to do because I keep losing my anger. I keep getting frustrated. I don't know how to deal with it. So the father said, this is what I want you to do. Every time you lose your anger, go to the fence. There was a white picket fence. And every time you lose your anger or your emotions, I want you to take the hammer and take the nails. It was a bucket of nails. And every time you lose yourself, get angry, go and nail it on the fence. A whole week went by. And the fence was filled with nails. And then he says, Dad, I think I learned to control myself now because I really banged the daylight out of the fence. And he said, every time you lose yourself or lose your anger, I want you to go back to the fence and take a nail out. So another week went by. And he was able to take all the nails out of the fence. So proud as he was, he said, Dad, I've learned to control it. And his father would say, good. Now I want you to look at the fence closely. What do you see? He says, I see holes. His father said to him, those holes weren't there before you lose or lost your anger or lose yourself. He said, wow. And his father explained to him, every time you lose your anger or don't act righteously and properly the way Jesus would, this is what you do to your friends and your family. You put holes in them. And it's the same for us as husbands and wife. That every time we lose our anger and ourselves, if we don't act lovingly, what happens? We put holes in them. Holes in them. You know, just the other day I got with a couple. And you guys know Tony and Dami Hill? Anybody know who they are? Okay. I got with them, great couple. But I sat with them just Thursday night right before we flew out here. And before we get to this, these guys, you know, we love them. You know, it's almost like preparing for a match. And they would sit down, they would go at it. I said, listen, hold on, stop right now. What are we going to do here? Is either we're going to make this marriage work or not. And I asked her, you know, do you love him? She says, yes, I do. I said, why you love him? She says, because he was my first love. I asked him, do you love her? He said, yes, I love her. I says, why? Because she's the only thing I think about. I think love, like I said, is there. But if it's not growing, it will soon die.
Come on.
Because we keep putting that holes in one another.
Yep.
And we got to make sure that faith and love will heal it. You know, I believe one of the things that stops us from having an endless love is pride.
Yep.
I want to talk a little bit about that. Ephesians chapter 4. I think it's great to have endless love. It's awesome because God created it and we need it. It is one of the most important ingredients in any relationship, especially marriage. But if we don't learn how to stop what prevents love, then we would get only but so far.
Right.
Ephesians chapter 4. This is what it says. Verse 1 beginning. As a prisoner of the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble. That challenged me right there.
Yeah.
He didn't say just be humble. He said be completely humble.
Right.
And gentle. And patient. And bearing with one another in love. Should we say this? As a prisoner of the Lord, then I urge you to have a marriage worthy of the calling. It could be said to us. And it is be completely humble. I believe pride is one of the biggest things we face in our marriages. If you want to have an endless love marriage, then you need to have an endless humility in you. Because you see, pride separates us. It separates us from our relationship with God, and it separates us from our relationship with one another. You know, endless humility, without it, there will be endless strife. Endless heartache. Endless grudge. Endless unforgiveness. Endless disrespect. Endless separation. You may be living together, but emotionally, we're far away from one another. It's like two strangers living in a house. That is not what God designed. If we don't learn to be humble, then what happens to us, it will destroy our emotional intimacy. You will have sex, but not make love. That's all it is. You see, when you're humble with your wife, and she's humble with you, and you get through the highs and the lows, then you're able to love one another and hold one another and make love. And it's amazing the way, you know, I'd be open.
Amen.
You know, when I make love to my wife, we make love to each other. It's indescribable.
Right.
Or indescribable, if you want to put it that way.
On, baby, on.
It's amazing. Because it's like we're in a different world. And I look at her and I say, honey, I love you. What's my name? I'm only kidding. She's blushing. All right.
Hey, we're married, right? We're family. We can be open and talk. It's all right. It's all pure. And I tell you the truth, when I make love to my wife, hold on. When I make love to my wife, I get breakfast in the morning. I get a kiss, hello. When I meet not just her physical needs, but her emotional needs, I get a great wife.
Amen.
If I'm not loving her the way she deserves to be loved, Ephesians 5 talks about, as Christ loved the church, husband, you ought to do what? Love your wife the same way. Give yourself to her.
Right.
Sometimes you feel, I know, when I first got married, my thought was all Indian. You know Indian people? You know how we think? You get a wife, she's there to serve me.
Uh-oh.
Hand and foot. Barefoot and pregnant with an apron on. Maybe. Anything, some of us, you know, we come into the kingdom with that mentality. That, hey, it's all over, baby. I've thrown a lot of people. It's all. Oh, yeah, you laughing. But I have to untrain myself, undo the thinking, and learn to live and love my wife the way Christ does the church, and give myself more than everything that is in me, give more than I'm supposed to give. Jesus died on the cross and he gave until he couldn't give anymore, and that's the kind of giving we ought to give our wives, especially if it's 2 o'clock in the morning and her foot hurts. I gotta get up and massage that thing. My wife got gorgeous feet. But I'm telling you, man, almost every day for 6 years, massage and massage and massage. Honey, my feet are home. I'm tired. My back hurts. My head hurts. But I got to give. And I love. And sometimes she's tired. And she's exhausted, too. And she got to give in to me. Not grudgingly. But she loves me. And she respects me. And I had to learn to do that, but I couldn't learn, and she couldn't learn to do these things if humility wasn't in our hearts and in our attitudes and in our character. You know, one point in my life and in my marriage, you know, when we first got married, I remember standing at the altar, and I said to my wife, "Honey, I love you. My vows. You are a jewel in the rock. You are my diamond, and I make a vow to present you back to God." Holy, radiant, and blameless. What was your vow? What did you say? How is your wife now? How is your husband now? Have you fulfilled your vows? Or have you forgotten it? Tell me about it. Has time taken that away? You made a vow. You know how God feels about vows. About making them and not fulfilling them.
Oh, yeah.
And I'll tell you, my pride prevents me from fulfilling my vows. And sometimes I look at my wife, you know, back in the days, I look at her and I see her as like an old beat up rag, an old beat up doll. And I said, man, I have not fulfilled my vows. Shame on me. God is not happy. This is God's daughter. Once upon a time, she was my sister. And I remember when we first started dating purely, I did all the things to get her heart. And I tied her down with an I do and some vows in the ring. And I'm not fulfilling that. Have you fulfilled your vows?
Come on, bro.
Is your wife radiant? Look at your wife right now. Tell me. Look at your wife. Some of y'all, your wife don't even want to look at you. Some of your husbands don't want to look at your wife. You say you just want me for sex and use me and that's it. Come on now. Look at your wife. Is she radiant? Is she radiant? Is she beautiful? Just like the day you said I do. Or is she beat up?
Come on.
Now, I'm not talking about looking at her in a physical point of view. I'm looking from a spiritual, emotional point of view. Where is she? Where is she? Wives, look at your husbands now. He's the man you said, I chose, I love, and I respect. Men need respect like we need air to breathe. Wife needs love like air. And when we're not humble, we choke that air. And we stifle them. And they can't breathe. You know, when Daniel, when you know how babies, when you blow on them, they do this, they can't breathe. Right? That's how our wives feel when you choke the air off and not loving her. The way Christ loved the church. And we do the same thing for husbands. When your wife don't respect your husband, you choke the air out and you shut him down, and he starts responding by shutting down. And she starts responding by acting up. You gotta take a step back and see what's going on. If your husband is not confident, if he's not striving to be his best, it's because you're not respecting him. And the wife don't respect because you're not loving her. So now what do we have? We have a cycle going on.
Come on.
What happens? You got to break that cycle. And Jesus says it from the beginning. In Ephesians chapter 5, he says, husband, love your wife. Wife, respect your husband. And if you don't put these simple things into practice, you'll be going like a chicken without a head in your marriage. Running around, trying to fix this, fix that. Run to this disciple and fall, and that disciple and fall. Nobody can fix you. You got to break it yourself. You gotta have people in your life, and we got people in church who will tell you the truth. But we could talk to you till you get blue in the face, or we get blue in the face. But unless you make a decision, I'm gonna be humble, and I'm just gonna love even when she don't deserve it. And I'm gonna respect him when he don't deserve my respect, because I'm following what God is telling me to do. And once we start doing that, then our marriage will be radiant. That people will see a difference in you and in the church and the kingdom of God. Say, man, I want to be like them. I want to have a marriage like that. What are they eating? What are they drinking? Why are they shining like that? It's God. And it's the Spirit of God. Here's another thing on the side. If you're not walking with the Spirit, if you're not in step with the Spirit, you can't love the way God wants you to love and to be humble. You with me?
Yeah.
Take these scriptures down real quick. Proverbs 16:5. God will punish the proud. Be sure of this, they will not go unpunished. Proverbs 8:13 says, I hate pride and arrogance. God hates it. You know, God hates all sin because they separate. But he said, pride and arrogance? I have a special hatred for that because it separates even more to the deepest core. And you want to get deep with God, you've got to be humble. If you want to walk deep in your relationship with your wife, you've got to be humble. You with me? Proverbs 11:2. When pride comes disgrace. But with humility comes wisdom. Once we're humble, then we start to listen to what our wives are saying, this man, brothers, husbands. Wisdom listens.
Yep.
What is she really telling me here? Why is she angry? Why is she frustrated? What is really going on? Are you listening with one ear? Or are you listening with your whole heart? Your whole body intent? What is she saying to me? Let me hear so I can meet her need. That's what love does. You're with me right there. Proverbs 16:8. Pride goes before destruction. When you get problems in your marriage, it's because you're hidden pride. There's pride in you. You stink and reeking of it. Pride goes before a destruction. That is why your marriage is falling apart.
Come on.
Because there's pride. If your husband is totally humble like Jesus, it'll be easy for you to respect him. You with me?
Yeah.
If your wife is being submissive with a quiet and gentle heart, gentle spirit, and it's easy for me to love her. But pride separates all of that.
Yeah.
You with me?
Yeah.
Pride prevents us from getting deeper with God and deeper with each other. I said that already. You can't have love and pride at the same place. You cannot have endless love and pride at the same place. You probably have an endless pride.
No.
When is this man ever going to change? When is this woman ever going to change? This pride keeps coming up. We talk about it on and on and on and on and on again since we've been Christian for 35 years or more. I don't know. But when are you going to change? Do you have an endless pride or endless humility? You cannot have love and pride at the same place. You cannot love with pride. You can't. You cannot love with pride. You with me? Because God separates himself from prideful people. And our wives will separate ourselves from us too. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 5, he says, clothe yourself with humility. Clothe yourself with humility. Once we get humble, doesn't matter whose fault it is. You know, alright honey, what could I have done better? What could you have done better? Once we get humble before God and each other, 99.9% of the time, our road to recovery and healing starts. Once we be humble. You with me? Humble is seeing yourselves in the eyes of God. Who you are, you're nothing but dust. And you don't deserve that wife you have. And you don't deserve the husband you have. God has given them to you. You ought to be grateful. Matthew 11:29 talks about how Jesus is humble and gentle in heart. Is that you, brothers? Are you humble and gentle in heart? Ask yourself that question. In fact, ask your wife. And wife, are you the same way? Humble and gentle in heart. When my wife is humble and gentle in heart, and no matter how I am, it breaks me up. It mashed me down. It takes my sin out. I said, whoa, hold on a second here. I can't be treating this woman this way. She's loving. She's gentle at heart. And look, I'm acting like a dummy. I can't be this way. I've got to repent and repent right now. Okay. I want to touch a little bit here and then I'm going to close up.
It's great, bro. Come on, man.
Ephesians talk about husband, love your wife, and wife respect her husband. It takes a humble man to say, I'm sorry. It takes a humble man to say, I'm sorry. It takes a humble woman to say, honey, you know what, I blew it. I shouldn't have spoken to you that way. I shouldn't have treated you that way. It takes humility. See, pride, listen carefully, pride points the finger. You did this. You did that. You made me feel this way. You did that to me, I feel like this. Pride points the finger. Love, humility, embrace responsibility. It takes it in and says, you know what? I could have done something better. I could have done this better. I could have said this better. I'm sorry, baby. Can you please forgive me?
Come on.
Please help me. I'm a sinful man. I don't deserve you or your love or your beauty. I don't deserve you. Can you please forgive me? And when we act and be this way with one another, it's easy for her to respect us and love us back. Amen?
Amen.
Now, love is faithful. Love is faithful. 1 Corinthians 13, we all know about the scripture about love. We don't have to go through it. We'll talk about that with the men a little bit later. Love is faithful. Loyal.
Yeah.
I'm going to take my time now. Because this is sensitive. As men, we struggle with the world. We struggle with impurity. Not just men. Women too. Sisters too. We struggle with that. Love says no to impure thoughts.
Come on.
You want to start having an endless love in your marriage? It's going to start in the mind. In the heart. You got to make your mind up. There's just certain places that I don't go. I am afraid of being on the computer. Afraid of that. Because you got something called pop-ups. And before I get on my computer, sometimes I just got to pray, God help me. And it's not that I'm going on the computer looking for stuff, it's just these things just pop up. And let me tell you how damaging that could be. Your mind is like a supercomputer, the greatest computer ever built or made, and it's by God. Listen carefully. If I were to tell you, now the fastest computer, if you were to program it to make a red apple, it would take what, about a minute or two? Less? Right? Now, in your minds right now, if I were to tell you, think of a red apple, what pops in your head?
Red apple.
Red apple, immediately. When those pop up, pops up. What pops in your head? What images are there? Especially when you're making love to your wife or your husband. And it's there. And you're with your wife and you're with your husband. You know what's going on in your mind? Adultery.
Come on.
Adultery. Endless love starts in the mind. And you got to love your wife. Say, I cannot do this because you know what? God sees this. He knows this. And some of you know, we've got to have a godly fear in our marriage. We got to have a godly fear in our marriage. God knows and He sees all.
Yeah, come on, bro.
I can't be talking to my wife the way I talk to her sometimes when I'm angry, upset. If God was in the room, would you talk to your wife that way? If God is in the room, would you talk to your husband that way? I got news for you. God is in the room. And He's watching everything. And He's seeing everything. And He's shaking His head. And He said, I can't believe that. What is going on with you? You've been around so long. You still haven't changed. You're not walking close to me because you haven't dealt with that pride.
Yeah.
God says, I oppose the proud. But give grace to the humble. We need to have a godly fear. Husband, your wife needs to feel loved and secured. And she need not to worry about what you're looking at.
Yeah.
Well, where are you going?
Come on.
I tell my wife, honey, I need help sometimes because when I walk down the street, my eyes are tempted to roll. I'll be honest. And we all need to be honest about this. And you know what I do? I said, I know what's coming. I know what's going to happen. So what I do is quite the opposite. I said, Father, give me strength because I am not going to give in that sin. I am not going to look in that direction. I love you too much. I love my wife too much. I cannot do that. I will not do that. And you've got the power and weakness.
Right.
Are you tapping into that? You can do it. You got to grow up now. I will not give in to that. Because I won't like it if my wife gives into it too. That will hurt me. That's like a knife in my back and in my heart. That is not what God created us and created marriage to be. Absolutely not. And I tell my wife and she tells me. And I thank God, you know, we're pure. Because all I desire is my wife. And if your heart is not there, then you got to pray for that. God, please, give me a heart that desires my wife has been my prayer. And my wife only.
Amen.
In mind, in thought, in deed, in action. Yeah. You got to fight, guys.
Yeah.
Otherwise, let me tell you, if you don't fight, Satan and sin will take you out.
Yeah.
We'll take you out.
Come on, Steve.
You can't be that way.
Right.
That's not what endless love is all about. Endless love keeps giving and loving it, giving into righteousness.
Yeah.
Not sin.
Yep.
Not only that, what example are we setting for our children?
Yeah.
My kids, I tell you now, they may be 5 and 6, but they watch everything.
Yeah.
And when you think that they don't see something, you are dead wrong. And my wife, I'm going to tell you, my wife and I are amazed of these kids and the things that they see and repeat.
Yeah.
I said, Daddy, you know, you weren't loving to Mommy. What did I say? You know, you didn't give her a kiss. How old are you? I'm 4. Since when you turned 4? You got all that brain already? All that sense? Yeah. And then when my wife, you know, when she's not what she needs to be sometimes, you know, Jonathan, my oldest, will go, you know, Mommy, I think you need to give Daddy a kiss. And let me tell you, I'm afraid. I'll tell you why I'm afraid, because my kids are to imitate me.
Yeah.
And if I'm not being an example, then what am I teaching them?
Right.
If I'm not loving and treating my wife as the queen that she is, then what am I teaching my sons and how to be when they get married?
Right.
They watch everything.
Yeah.
You ever heard the saying that the apple don't fall far from the apple tree?
Right.
If you're unloving, harsh, rude, disrespectful, uncaring husband, that's what your sons are going to be.
Okay.
If you're a backbiting, two-tongued, sharp-tongued woman, disrespectful, that's what your kids are going to be. The apple don't fall far from the apple tree. It is a true saying. I know. I got three of them to remind me of that. You're with me so far, guys. If you want to have endless love, it's going to start with your relationship with God, and it's going to start with you being humble.
Yeah.
Have a conviction about purity. I don't care how long you've been a Christian. I don't care how many, what you have that's under your belt. I've been married so long, my wife and I, we kind of lost track, because that don't really matter. What matters is how we're maturing.
Right.
In our hearts, in our conviction. What matters is how I love God and how she loves me.
Yeah.
How I love God is how I would love her.
Right.
And how she loves God is how she would respect me.
Right.
And how we love one another will teach the next generation what it means to be in the kingdom of God.
Yep.
I got a few sayings here, then I'm going to close out with this.
On,
said, what does love mean? And it was a group of professionals who asked a group of kids ages from 4 to 8, what does love mean? Love means this. Love is when a girl puts on perfume and a boy puts on shaving cologne and goes out and smell each other. Love is when you go out and eat and give somebody the most of your French fries without making them give you any of theirs.
Oh!
And her name was Carissa 86. Love is what makes you smile even when you're tired, Terry, age 4. Love is when your mommy makes coffee for daddy and take a sip before giving it to him to make sure it tastes exactly the way he wanted, Danny, age 7. Love is what's in the room when you're at Christmas time and you stop opening the presents and you hear the family together. Bobby, age 5. If you want to learn to love better, you should start with the person you hate the most. Nakia, age 6. There are two kinds of love. Our love and God's love. But God made them both. Jenny, age 4. Love is when you tell a guy you like his shirt and he wears it every single day. Nicole, age 7. Love is like a little old woman and a little old man who are still friends after they've known each other for so long. Tommy, age 6. My mommy loves me more than anybody else. You don't see anybody else kissing me to sleep. Clara, age 5. And this is the one I like the most. It says, love is when mommy gives daddy the bigger piece of chicken. I love that part.
Woo!
Love is when mommy sees daddy smelly and sweaty and still says that he's handsome as Robert Redford. Chris, 86. When you love somebody, your eyelashes go up and down really fast and stars circle around your head. Karen, 87. You really shouldn't say I love you unless you mean it. But if you mean it, you should say it a lot. People forget. Jessica, age 8. Love is when you give each other hugs and mean it from your heart. Jonathan Ranga, age 4. Love, Daddy. Love is God. Dylan Ranga at age 3. Guys, kids know about love, but we ought to teach them what true love is. God has given us all that He has given us, the Holy Spirit, to live the life that He wants us to live, to have endless love. Let this marriage retreat and what you have heard today not fall to the ground. But you take this serious and you put this into practice. Not just for this weekend, but in time to come. And your children could look at you and say, I want to be just like mommy. I want to have a marriage like that. I want to have endless love. May God bless us. Amen.
Awesome.